This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm Gaius. Germanicus is here. We've attended to Europe. We're headed to the Pacific. In the Pacific right now, there's a trade war underway between the United States and China. There are other details here, but I'm not going to overwhelm with numbers. I'm just going to say it's two big dogs gonna fight time from Dr. Strangelove. And the two big dogs right now are fighting with rhetoric. Question is, have we seen this before? Now, being Romans, we were educated into the successes of the Roman Republic before it became a really good idea, the Roman Empire, which we live in. But we get sentimental about our educations growing up here in Londinium, far away from Rome. Remember, we're not vulnerable to the Roman intrigues because we're, several weeks away by even the good roads we've built. And therefore, we'd have time to prepare our defenses if somebody denounced us. But they won't, because all the Greeks we employ, they do all the work. We pay well, and they know that if they've informed on us, they'd lose a good payday. So Germanicus and I are comfortable enough to go to an analogy of what we see in the 21st century. Germanicus, once upon a time, Carthago delenda est. Carthage was founded by, we're told, the Phoenicians. It was a trading city, the new city. And it survived while the originals fell to the intrigues and the vicissitudes and the black swan events of the Levant. But Carthage became a rival for the major powers in the Italian peninsula. First Syracuse, Carthage versus Syracuse, and Carthage won that one, otherwise Syracuse would have continued to become powerful from the 4th century BCE. And then Rome. Rome knew or believed early on that in order to triumph, it wasn't enough to own the Italian peninsula. We had to very carefully maneuver so that we not just dealt with Carthage, we dominated and destroyed it. Carthago delenda est. I tell the story quickly because I want to know if you're comfortable with the idea that Washington versus Beijing reminds we Roman citizens of Rome versus Carthage in the 2nd century BCE.
It may. It might. And certainly the U.S. is in a position not dissimilar to that of Rome in, let us say, the beginning of the late 200s BC, in the sense that Rome is not fully established, and a war with Carthage is a way to begin to consolidate its rule over all of Italy. And in effect, the 150-year struggle with Carthage was the path whereby Rome achieved its dominance over at least the Western Mediterranean. It would do so over the Greek East a bit later. But this period from around 280 to 130 BC was in a series of wars, three specifically, which destroyed Carthage, but allowed Rome to essentially not just exert dominance over the larger space of the Mediterranean, but also it consolidated its rule over Italy as well. And the U.S. today is not that similar to Rome, but at the same time, the confrontation has some kind of eerie resonance in the sense that a long-standing competition, you could call it a struggle, with China could, in a sense, help to consolidate America, an America that's somewhat lost its way during this evanescent short period of U.S. world power, world leadership, as they call it in Washington, but essentially the unipolar moment is over. And for the U.S. to find its way, conflict with China would kind of cement that. But it's a dicey proposition, and for several reasons. One, the U.S. is not configured for actual war as opposed to Rome. Rome was configured literally for nothing else except war. That's one of the reasons that Rome succeeded the way it did. On the other hand, I mean, the U.S. is in a position where it wants to create some sort of outcome vis-a-vis China where benefits accrue to the U.S. And they're mostly a search for economic benefits. And that might be realizable if China wishes to do so. And China is not necessarily in a strong position as, you know, surface indicators might seem to indicate. China has deep internal weaknesses economically, and its system has fragilities that are not acknowledged, obviously, but also not necessarily visible. You have to look for them. And for the U.S. to confront China puts China in a very shaky position, which I think would tend to suggest that the U.S. and China could come to a rapprochement. And any kind of symbolic, even ephemeral outcome that allows the current U.S. administration to say, well, we've righted some historic economic imbalances, and this will open the way for the U.S. to prosper. And it shows the U.S. is still number one in the sense that it has the clout to move a rival. That would be great. On the other hand, China may not feel it can yield and give up its own search for equality with the U.S., a kind of not primacy, but certainly primacy in East Asia. And so my sense is that the whole China-U.S. Contretemps is solvable, but it will require accommodation on both sides, and I don't know what level of give there is in either China or the U.S. And it needs to be restated or underscored that the U.S. and China have entered into this kind of more visible confrontation only recently, just now, in effect, with the trade tariff war, quote unquote. And we don't know where that's going, but my sense is that China is weak in ways that it doesn't acknowledge economically and in terms of its system. And the U.S. is weak militarily. It doesn't have the kind of strength to assert anything in the Western Pacific. And it's also divided politically, and not necessarily in the most stable situation either. So you have two unstable regimes that know that war, actual war, would be devastating and bring them both down.
Is trade war enough?
The trade war is a hortatory war. It is.
Well, that was a period that vast century plus you named. There was competition the whole time.
And you know, Mr. Trump levied tariffs on China during his first term. And so I would suggest that this is kind of picking up where his first term left off, and it's a kind of continuation struggle. And
see coexistence as real.
Pardon me?
You see coexistence as genuine.
I think that there is no alternative but for China and the U.S. to coexist. The question is, what are the terms of the relationship? And I think whatever the struggle is, and however superficial or titular that struggle is, it is all going to focus on coming to an understanding of what each side has to give in order to make it work. Because for it not to work would be a catastrophe for the world as a whole, and specifically for China and the U.S. in particular. And I think both sides are aware of that. So I think this is an elegant sort of game that will be played out, and it will be played out over the next year or two, and hopefully it'll be resolved earlier than that. I don't see China or the U.S. as being traditional great powers, certainly not in the mold of Carthage and Rome, because both Carthage and Rome in that period in the 280s were flexing powers. They had things they wanted, and they were willing to go to war to get them. And the fact that they had, both Rome and Carthage, such great military potential, and that they both performed so over the top. I mean, Carthage overperformed in the Second Punic War. And Rome was able to win, but it was a close-run thing. And the fact that they both had the capacity to take it to the limit meant that they would take it to the limit. And I think the overall awareness in the U.S. and China today is that the limit, the threshold, is so close and so easily breached that they can't push it too far. I mean, and I really do believe that. So my sense is that this will continue until some kind of mutual accommodation is reached.
And a detail about the original. The Romans destroyed Carthage and then rebuilt it some years later.
Right.
And then it fell again and rebuilt it some years later. The ruins of Carthage are spectacular. I've never been there, but I've watched that develop over 150 years. It was a beautiful, workmanlike trade city. It was as close to a city designed to be top-of-the-line capitalism as you can imagine before in BCE times. It was arranged, that harbor of theirs was magical. It must have been one of the wonders of the world.
And when Rome finally destroyed Carthage and then rebuilt it, Novo Carthago was a bustling place for the next 800 years. Roman, but it was Carthage.
Germanicus, Gaius, we're going to attend to a small detail. When did we stop being a republic? That's a provocative question. When Rome stopped being a republic is when we had an emperor.
Yeah.
When does America stop being a republic? It's an open question when we come back. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.